Newton leans forward, waits on the snap, and he takes it. Newton back two steps. Looks to his right. He double clutches. He comes back to his left and slips the rush of Addison. Newton sprints to the 10, cuts it right across the 5. Newton fights his way to the end zone. A dive for a touchdown, Patriots.
What a great individual effort by Cam Newton here.
All right, back here, Patriots postgame. Chris Gasper's here. He's moved from the pregame to the postgame. Big Jim got the early hook today.
You're welcome, Jim.
You're welcome. New England Ford dealers, where the Ford build for the holiday sales event is in full swing with great deals across the Ford lineup. Hurry in for the best selection. We will welcome in Greg Bedard of the Boston Sports Journal. Greg, I'm not sure if you saw Cam Newton's wake-up structure and when he has coffee, but I should ask you, we've heard about him being a vegan at one point in his diet. We've heard about his coffee in his wake-up schedule. Do you think this has anything to do with the way that he plays on the football field?
No.
Because I'm trying something else here this week. You know, I'm trying to change the questions up a little bit here.
We're going to talk about his nicknames for everybody, too. I mean, that's, you know, his energy. I mean, we've talked about everything about with Cam Newton except his actual play for so much of the season. I mean, it's just it's been a little bit laughable to me. But, I mean, look, this team is where it is right now. And I caught the tail end of his press conference. I thought Chris's interpretation of it was interesting. I mean, it definitely sounded like a frustrated Cam for the first time. Now, you know, what to make of that and the reasons behind that, whether it was getting pulled or just, you know, look, this is national television and the Patriots were on national television for the Rams, but I think Monday Night Football is a little bit different. And, you know, I think them getting owned on their own field by the Bills is a sort of a next level of failure for this team, and I think it leads to a lot of frustration, a lot of disappointment for a lot of people.
When you look at this offense, Greg, one touchdown the last 32 drives, if my math is correct here, what has gone wrong? What is the biggest issue? Obviously, you know, quarterbacks are sort of like presidents in the economy. When it's going well, they get all the credit. When it's going poorly, they get all the blame. But I never dreamed that I would see a Bill Belichick, Josh McDaniels offense that just looks this futile when it's out on the field.
Yeah, I think that, you know, to me, I think it starts with, I know for you, it starts with the quarterback, and we could probably argue a bit about this.
Sure.
But to me, I think it starts with overall, especially with the way the Patriots view things and the way they do things. I think it starts with overall just talent at all places, at least a semblance of talents, guys who at least are efficient and can catch the ball and, you know, make tough catches and get open quickly and things like that. And I just think, to me, I think for this offense, I think for me, that's where this has started, that this year was just a complete another level of just, you know, hitting the depth of, they just don't have any, they don't have any NFL players on offense other than the offensive line and the running back. I mean, they just don't. I mean, Jacoby Myers is a good player, but really anywhere else, he's a number three or a number four. Damir Bird's okay. He's a number three or a number four.
I think he's better than Dorsett. I'll be honest. I think he's an upgrade over Dorsett.
I agree. You know, but you know, we need to be realistic that, you know, Tom Brady last year had Julian Edelman, 100 catch Julian Edelman. They don't even have that this year. And people tend to forget that Brady in his last 10 games last year completed 56% of his passes and had an 80.3 rating. I mean, Newton this year on the whole, he's completed 66% of his passes and his rating 79.6. So to me, I think you have to start with the offense as a whole, what's around these quarterbacks, and then sort of we can get to the quarterbacks. But to me, I just think that the talent level has fallen off so dramatically. I mean, you had Lacoste for 11 games last year. At least he's a semblance of an NFL tight end. And, you know, I think the personnel is completely broken on offense. It has been now going on 2 seasons. It's part of the reason why Brady wanted to walk out the door And I just think that's where it starts. And I think when it comes to Belichick in this offseason, I think that's where he's going to start. I think he's going to start with receiver and tight end. And then when it comes to quarterback, he's just – and you and I talked about this in the press box briefly before the game, that looking back at Belichick's history and even what he did this year, I think Belichick's going to be looking for a smart, efficient quarterback who is a good decision maker, who takes care of the ball and is accurate with the ball. Now, Cam Newton wasn't that this year, but I think he's going to go looking for that again, and I don't think it's going to be breaking the bank to do that.
Greg, just speaking of that, the Patriots could finish anywhere from, what, 9 to 15 when it comes to the draft this year. If they happen to get a top 10 pick, would they look at a quarterback in the draft, or do you think they're going to go veteran over a rookie?
I think, Joe, I think it's – with everything, it's going to be evaluated. So it's going to be – it's going to be in terms of, you know, what is that player in that slot? Do they have them rated there? I would doubt that outside of maybe the first couple quarterbacks, maybe Wilson from BYU. Again, I haven't studied these college guys very much, so I don't know them all that well. So I don't know the pecking order or how good like Wilson is from BYU.
He's
I'm
good.
Going what other,
I mean, yeah, he's top 10 good.
Yeah. I'm going with what other people are saying. And that seems to be the consensus. So if they have him rated there, I think they would take him. But I think it's much more likely that the Patriots, given all of their holes, and I think it sounded like on the telecast that Belichick even made mention to the TV crew that it's not, you know, it's not a lock that any or all of these opt-out guys come back. And I guess we would include Hightower in this. But I think it's much more likely that Belichick trades down from that spot, tries to sell it to another team that's looking for that guy for sort of the next tier quarterback in the draft. And he stocks up and he trades down to the bottom of the first round and more second round picks. And that Belichick goes out and finds a usable veteran, you know, because that's look, I think he's looking for his Vinny Testaverde, which is what he had in Cleveland. I think that he views quarterback like any other position. So he is going to evaluate what's it cost to get that guy? How much is it worth it? Is he better? How much better is he than X? It's where we've gotten on a lot of places as far as personnel, including the wide receiver position. But I think that's what he does.
And so this is sort of where I think if I'm reading you right, or maybe I'm saying I part ways with Belichick and not you, Greg, that's sort of where I part ways with him philosophically. If you have this season and you still think that you can just plug in, like Vinny Testaverde was great, but he won one playoff game with that guy in 5 years in Cleveland. So, I mean, the level of success he's attained in New England, you're not going to have that with Vinny Testaverde. And if you're not in some way chastened by this season, then I think there's something wrong, which brings me to this question. Would he be interested in bringing back Jimmy Garoppolo, and how far do you think he would go to do it? If he had to give up their second round pick to get Jimmy back, do you think he would do it?
I do. But I do. I think that Shanahan might be willing to give him less. I mean, I think they have sort of a deal. We all know that, you know, and I heard this from people with the 49ers that when it came to that that trade, you know, Kyle called up Bill and Bill said, you want Jimmy for a second? And he said, well, I got to get back to you. I got to talk about it with John. And he went back with John and they prepared a counter because they thought Belichick was going to say, well, I thought more about it. I want more for Jimmy. And they were prepared for a counter, which they didn't have to offer up. And so, I think there's a relationship there that they can strike a deal. I do think he would take Jimmy. I do think that he would trade a second or a third or, you know, a third and a fourth, what have you, to get him back. And I think, to me, looking over all the options on who might be out there, I think that bringing Jimmy here in his knowledge of the system and their knowledge of him and that they're looking for an accurate quarterback who makes quick decisions, who's got a quick arm, I think he fits the bill for exactly what they're looking for. And I think, yes, I think they would do that. They would probably restructure his contract when he got here. But, yeah, I think that's the optimal for the Patriots and probably what Belichick is looking for after the season.
All right, more with Greg Bedard of the Boston Sports Journal. If you want to jump aboard, 617-779-0985. Chris Gasper is here. I'm Joe Murray. More postgame next on the Safety Insurance 98.5 The Sports Hub Patriots Radio Network.
Second down and seven for the Pats. In motion from the right, Asiasi out of the eye. Toss sweep to the near side for Michelle. A crease across the 40, 45, 50. Sony cuts it right across the 45, past the 40 of Buffalo. And Jordan Poyer catches him from behind with a saving tackle at the Bills 33.
All right, back here, Patriots post game. Chris Gasper's here. I'm Joe Murray. Greg Bedard of the Boston Sports Journal. New England converted 11 first downs today. That's another $1,100 donated by Credit Union Kids at Heart to the Team Jack Foundation to fight pediatric brain cancer and help researchers one day find a cure. More at creditunionkidsatheart.org. Greg, I wanted to ask you this real quick, just one more Cam Newton question. He was peppered with a lot of questions there. One was about his contract, something I've never heard him talk about all year long. And the other, he mentioned that this year was like an interview process for him. You know, I think everyone agreed it was kind of one and done here, but, you know, that's the first time he has talked about any of that. And, you know, Chris maybe mentioned he might have cracked that, not to use those words, but he, you know, put a little bit of pressure on himself today, and he was peppered with a lot of questions there. But just looking at the future of Cam Newton, do you still think he is a part of the plan for next season?
A part of the plan? I wouldn't say that. I mean, I would say that the options are open. I think that all options are open, and that includes some sort of Cam return. In what capacity, I couldn't tell you. I know for certain that hasn't been closed off yet. I mean, to tell you the truth, I mean, they haven't discussed this at all, you know, what they're doing at the quarterback position. That's something that doesn't happen until after the season, and quite frankly, you know, the way decisions are made at Gillette is, you know, people give their input and things like that, but the only person who matters is Bill. Bill makes the decision. You know, they guys can study this stuff up. They can go on trips. They can, you know, they'll do film study and all the possible available quarterbacks. They'll make their recommendations and stuff like that. But really, the only person that matters is Bill. And who knows what he's ultimately going to decide. Do I think he's still a possibility for next year? Yeah, I do. I mean, I think a lot of it has to do with his sway over other players, that he could possibly attract some to come play here. So in that regard, I think they'll keep things as on good terms as possible with Cam. But we'll just – with a lot of this stuff, we're just going to have to see what happens in the offseason. You know, where – you know, who's in charge in Detroit? What are they going to do with Matthew Stafford? What's the deal with the Jets and Sam Darnold? You know, is Gardner Minshew going to be available in Jacksonville? What are they looking for? You know, all those types of things are going to be determined in the offseason.
We've talked a ton, Greg, obviously, about the offense. I would say, you know, when I look at the season as a whole and over the last 3 weeks, I've been a little bit disappointed in the performance of the defense. What have you seen from this defense, and is it a situation where it's just an accumulation of missing bodies, or have they underperformed?
Well, a little bit today. I mean, when you have Uche out there playing stand-up linebacker, you know, things haven't gone well, and that, you know, basically Anthony Jennings and Kyle Duggar were afterthoughts today. You know, I think Jennings has fallen very far this season. Every time he's on the field, you know, I'm not an expert on what the Patriots are running, but it sure looks to me like he's making a lot of mental mistakes out there. And Duggar, I don't know if that was probably part of the game plan. You know, the Texans game, the Rams game, the Dolphins game especially, I didn't know what was going on with the defense in that game, that they made no adjustments to stop the run. Today, they were a little bit short of bodies, but to me, you know, everybody's going to get all over J.C. Jackson, and they're going to get all over the secondary. But to me, this was a prime example of the Patriots have had no consistent pass rush this year. And I don't care who you have in the secondary, J.C. Jackson, Stephon Gilmore, what have you. If you don't have a pass rush, you don't stand a chance. And, I mean, even Josh Allen made reference to I forget what the exact quote was, but the 50-yard touchdown to Stephon Diggs that was a crossing route. I'm finding the quote right now, but that's a play where, first of all, Josh Allen was not hurried at all. He could sit back there all day and do exactly what he wanted to, you know, twerk his shoulders to move people. He could do that because the Patriots weren't getting to him. And Allen said, he said, I can't find the quote, but he basically said, that's not a play where you normally have that much time. And that, to me, encapsulated the Patriots' defense today, where the Josh Allen was not rushed at all. So, you know, he played well. There's no doubt he played well. But a lot of quarterbacks would have played well today with his receivers and all that. I mean, this looked very reminiscent to me of Ryan Fitzpatrick in Week 17 last year, where he just threw all over the Patriots. Why? Because they didn't have any pass rush, and the Patriots didn't have any pass rush today. I question whether they have the pieces. I think Uche is a good player. I think Winovich is a good player, but are they really top of the line pass rushers? I think that's another thing that I would like to see them invest in. But then again, they have a whole bunch of other holes. Like, you know, Lawrence Guy's a free agent. Adam Butler's a free agent. Like, you know, what are you going to do with all of these holes that you have? And this is why I come back to, I don't see the Patriots putting a lot of capital into one area, even if it's quarterback, because I just think they have too many holes on this team.
Can I just follow up with you on that quickly? You mentioned Uche and Winovich, obviously. I've always been told by different guys like Rob Ninkovich over the years that, look, pass rushing for the Patriots is different. You can't just, you know, tee off. No one's lining up in a wide nine. You have to stay in your rush lane. So how much of it is they don't have the talent, and how much of it is the scheme?
A little bit of both. I mean, still, I mean, you know, if you have pass rushing talent, you're going to win. And if they have trust in you that you can win one-on-one. I mean, look, Rob Ninkovich was a really good player here, but I don't think anybody would ever say that Rob Ninkovich was a dominating pass rusher. And so, you know, if you get a whole bunch of guys who have tools in the toolbox, but nothing extraordinary, you're going to scheme it up. A lot of stunts and twists and come from the second level and all the stuff. The amoeba stuff that we saw the last couple of years, that's how they got their pass rush. But if they had a guy who they thought was a special pass rusher, they would leave that guy to let him do things on his own. They just, it's both. I mean, with a lot of things in football, it's a little bit of everything. And they don't have a ton of talent pass rushing wise. And some of it is scheme, and some of it I don't understand what they've done schematically on defense for part of the season, especially going back to the Dolphins game, and we'll have to see what the film reveals in this one.
Yeah, one thing I wanted to mention is I thought Brian Daboll had an outstanding just a package of plays that at times you would see J.C. Jackson covering stuff on Diggs, but then Cole Beasley would come underneath and, you know, he'd play help on it, and then it would open Diggs right up. That's Daboll knowing the man-to-man coverage of the Patriots, and they ate him up today. And early on, it took a little while to get it going, and then they started eating him up late, and then obviously the big touchdown to Diggs opened it up there. Right. But they held Cole Beasley in check at least a little early in that game.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you ask me, when I haven't watched a ton of Bills film since the beginning of the year, but when I turned it on, I saw a lot of stuff schemed up that was really good. That you know, Daboll knows what he has. He knows how to make Allen comfortable. I think that Daboll and Diggs and, you know, Beasley and Gabriel Davis, I mean, those three guys haven't missed a game, and they've been out there, you know, every week. And the way Daboll has coordinated has just been tremendous, and he's done an outstanding job this year. I don't know what kind of head coach he's going to be if he gets that opportunity, but he's a guy who I've known for years, and I talk to every once in a while, and he's been outstanding this year, and to me, he's the reason why Josh Allen is making it look so good, not the other way around.
All right, more with Greg Bedard after this. We'll get his thoughts on the Jets next week. They're on a streak. And we'll get his thoughts on that, and of course, look ahead to next season as well. But first, let's get a look at the headlines.
Newton hands it off and runs straight ahead for J.J. Taylor. Sprint past the 30 to the 25-20. Runs to the 15. Ooh. Tackled from behind. Another saving play for Buffalo with the takedown by Milano at the Buffalo 12.
All right, Stop and Shop. The New England running back Sony Michel have teamed up for 5 yards for families. For every 5 yards rushing, Stop and Shop donates 5 bags of groceries for hungry families. New England has rushed for 2,180 yards this season. So Stop and Shop will donate 2,180 bags of groceries up to 2,500 bags this season. So Sony Michel, again, had a decent running game. 10 carries for 69 yards. Again, that number 10 carries, I've brought this up now for the last couple of weeks. Last week he had 10, Harris had 11. We look back, the Rams, there was 16 rushes.
It's hard when you get behind, though, Joe. I mean, that's the thing. You know, they're not built to – their running game's great. They're built as a team to play from ahead. But when you get behind like you did against the Rams or you did tonight, the running game kind of goes out the window. And the way they're built is to shorten the game. The issue is when you get behind, they shorten the game for themselves when they run the football. So that's one of their issues. They just can't generate enough big plays in the passing game or score fast enough to come back. And you end up sort of with no running game, or on the other side, you end up not being able to use the passing game effectively enough or quickly enough to get back in the game. It's the worst of both worlds.
Yep, and I feel at times, and of course, this is Patriots post game. Chris Gaspers here. We got Greg Bedard of the Boston Sports Journal with us as well. I'm Joe Murray. Whenever a team scores first, or you know they have a good run, you know, good running drive, and the next team scores again, it's like they throw the run out. You know, and then all of a sudden it's Cam Newton skipping rocks into Nantasket Beach. Greg, I just want to ask you about the defense quickly. We know that, you know, whether it's Mayo, whether it's Steven Belichick, I guess we've heard that it's Steven Belichick, and I still think Bill has a hand in it. But would they ever name would they ever name a defensive coordinator next year? And I don't know, would they ever bring back a Matt Patricia, or would they ever make a change there, even though his kid is calling the plays?
Yeah, if Matt wants to coach next year, and there's a chance he might want to spend some family time for a year, I doubt it, because these guys kind of – they don't like to go away and perhaps pass up an opportunity. So I could definitely see Matt Patricia back as the defense coordinator next year. I think that's that would probably be a good thing for Belichick, especially if Josh McDaniels gets a job this offseason and they're – figuring out what to do with offensive coordinator. Belichick might have to dedicate more of his time to the offensive side. Since Patricia left, even when Flores was here, Bill had a very heavy hand in the defense, and he still does. You know, I was asking people, because I couldn't figure out what the deal was with the defense against the Dolphins, and one of my thoughts was, you know, did Bill sort of turn it over to Steven and Gerard that week sort of to test them and see what they could do and whatnot? And I was told in uncertain terms, no, that's not going to happen and hasn't happened. And so the way I know it is Bill is heavily involved on the defensive side. He basically sets the course for the game plan, helps assemble the game plan and the play calls for the game. And Steven goes out there and makes the calls. Where McDaniels has basically autonomy on the offensive side. I mean, obviously, Belichick tells everybody how he envisions how they're going to win that game and how he wants them to play and has oversight on all that. But knowing that, when it comes to offensive coordinator, if there are changes, Belichick might be needed more on that side. And so having a guy like Patricia back where you can just say, all right, he's got it under control, he knows what he's doing, that frees up Bill a little bit more, but, you know, we'll have to see.
I want to ask you sort of the $64,000 question at this point in the season, Greg. Does it make sense next week to give Jarrett Stidham the start? I know we saw him again tonight. He wasn't that impressive, 4 of 11, 44 yards. A little bit of a tough spot for him to come into. But is there anything to be gained by doing that, or should they just finish this out with Cam?
I think I would have started Jarrett this week. So I certainly believe that they should start him in the final week. I mean, I don't see what the upside of starting Cam in week 17 is. I don't. I mean, so what if he goes out there and he plays well and they win? What does that matter? I would much rather let Jarrett, and I know, you know, I already have people in my Twitter feed saying like, oh, well, now this will shut up all the people who wanted Jarrett Stidham to play. And first of all, it wasn't about wanting to see Jarrett Stidham play. It was just about, all right, I think we kind of know what we have in Cam. Why not take a look at the other guy? And, you know, Jarrett not getting the first team reps all week and then being thrown out there in a lopsided game, that's not fair. The Bills were teeing off on him, and Justin Herron couldn't block anybody. And so it was not a good opportunity. I would like to see him. And plus, also another part of that equation is this is he goes in and he has to execute the game plan that was installed for Cam Newton. Whereas, you know, give the if you really want to see what the kid is capable of, and I don't think he's capable of much, and I don't think internally they think he's capable of much, but you never know. You might have a Jimmy G type kid who stinks on the practice field but plays better under the lights. And so why not give him an opportunity, tailor make the game plan to what he does well, and let him get the whole week's worth of reps and see what he can do. And I think we got an inkling of that today when Stidham went into the game. All of a sudden, these veterans like Devin McCourty and David Andrews, all these guys suddenly started getting injuries and didn't return to the game. And I think you're looking at a situation where maybe they start the game with their starters, but I doubt it. But I think it's going to be largely a preseason game. These are what these games devolve into normally. Normally it's Brady starting and giving way after about a series or even a half, but I think it's going to be largely a preseason game in this finale. So let Stidham go out there. Give the kids, put the kids out there, all of them.
Greg, I just want to follow up on something that you just said there, and maybe you've said this before and I just haven't caught it. You said they know what they have with Stidham internally and they don't think it's much. I'm paraphrasing. Why do they feel that way? And is that the way they felt all along, or did that change based on the pseudo competition they had in training camp?
Well, I think that he had an opportunity to they gave him an opportunity, just like Cam. I mean, it was a competitive situation. I mean, people can read in it whatever they want, but it really was a competitive situation between all three quarterbacks. And he got the opportunity, and he went out there. He did not perform that well. I wasn't that big on the number of interceptions early, because I think a lot of guys count, like, you know, different drills and things like that. Me, I just look at team drills. That's the only place where I really weigh anything. And I thought Stidham played pretty well the first couple days as a whole, but then the whole injury thing and his lack of compete, I think, sort of lessened him in a lot of people's minds inside the building. Regardless of what people think, or maybe Jed Fish might have said about the type of reps that Jarrett Stidham was getting, as far as I know, or that I've been told, they've seen plenty of reps to be able to know what they think and have it, what they have in Jarrett Stidham. And look, again, it only matters what Bill thinks, and Bill's not telling anybody. But I would say the general consensus inside the building is that Jarrett Stidham is probably no better than a backup, but you know, that can change. And, an opportunity like Sunday and rolling that into the offseason is that type of opportunity.
Yeah, I heard that about a guy named Tom Brady once, too. I think we all heard that once about not more than just a backup here. He's Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal. Chris Gasper's here as well. I see you guys lined up on the phone lines. We will get to you, and I have questions for both of you guys regarding players who could be here next season. All that coming up next here on the Safety Insurance 98.5 The Sports Hub Patriots Radio Network.
Snap to Allen, starts to roll right, reverses direction, carries to the left, chased by Wise, backs up, throws to the end zone, and a diving catch in the back corner of the end zone left for Stephon Diggs. He's got a hat trick with a third touchdown tonight. An improbable throw by Allen and a near impossible catch by Diggs. Buffalo has the route on here in Foxborough.
Man, it's Josh Allen feeling it.
Oh, he was feeling it. Four touchdowns, three to Stephon Diggs. That was your Cumberland Farms Smart Play of the game. Cumberland Farms Hutterized Coffee. Still just 99 cents any size every day. You make it like you take it, so your coffee is always just the way you like it. Stop by Cumberland Farms today.
Cam Newton should get a deal with them.
I know.
Right?
We were just talking about maybe a mattress company. I don't know.
Yeah, Cam should get a deal with Cumberland Farms.
So I've asked Chris this off the air, Greg. Your thoughts on J.C. Jackson as a number one corner, and this offseason, what do you tender him as? First round pick, second round pick? Do they come to a deal? What do you think the future of J.C. Jackson is here in New England?
Well, I think you definitely tender him as a first round pick. Now, you know, beyond that, you know, whether they reach a contract or not. I mean, they will try, but it takes both sides to dance, and they couldn't. It was something they couldn't find common ground with Malcolm Butler. Do I think that JC has the same leverage that Malcolm did at that time? No. But it's like Michael Lombardi famously said, and you can use this for a lot of positions when it comes to the Patriots this offseason. You know, Belichick doesn't love the one he's with. He loves the one that will take what he's offering. And so, I mean, so it depends on what kind of contract agreement. I mean, do I think he's a number one to the level of Stephon Gilmore? No, but it depends. Like, all right, well, what's J.C. Jackson getting? Is he good enough at a number one at say $9 million a year or $8 million a year compared to, you know, 15 or 16 for Gilmore or more? Yeah, I think so. Cause you know, I want to spread it out. But look, like I said, I don't care who you have playing cornerback. If you don't get consistent pressure on the quarterback, it doesn't matter who's covering, and no one's going to look like a number one corner. So they need to get better all over the defense, and I think that the secondary right now is the least of their concerns.
I wanted to ask you guys a couple of questions here, but Tim is in Attleboro. He has a question about the coaching staff next year. What's going on, Tim? You're on postgame.
Hey, you guys. How you guys doing? Good show. Good.
Thanks, Tim.
I want to bring up three things. If you just get to my first two, that'll be good enough. I know you're up against it, but I heard in the pregame, Adam Gase, if and when he's going to get canned, that he's buddies, him and Bill have a good relationship. Also that with Nick Saban, like Nick Saban, I don't know if he was with Nick at Miami way back when or if he coached with him with Alabama, and your thoughts on that. And then I was going to say, you know, I've been saying for a month, a friend of mine told me that Cam has to make 80% of the snaps to get like a $2 million bonus, okay? So why doesn't Bob open up his wallet a little and say, sit down the last game?
Thanks,
and
thanks, Tim. What's the money situation with Cam Newton at the moment there, Greg?
Well, I mean, it depends on how many snaps he played compared to the rest, but he was at 86% of the snaps going into this game. He needs to get to 90% to get all of his full incentives. Probably with today, I would say he's still over 80, but if he drops below 80, then it goes down to about, I think 1.5. I mean, basically he gives up $500,000 or something like that. Wow. You know, this is part of the argument why I made a long time ago that they should have just guaranteed Cam's incentives and, kept some of them. So that this was off the table, and also it would be a signal to the locker room that you're taking care of somebody, which Bill has been trying to do all season when he just could have done it up front and alleviated a lot of issues for himself. As far as Adam Gase being a quarterback's coach or possibly offensive coordinator if McDaniels moves on, yes, that is possible. It's something I addressed in one of my members' Q&A on Saturday. Somebody brought it up and was actually a name I forgot to include on my list. But yeah, I think that's possible. He was with McDaniels in Denver. He has knowledge of the system. Belichick thinks a lot of him. I think a lot of him as an offensive mind, not as a head coach, but I think he's a really good game planner and play caller when he's just given that to do. And I think that would be a natural fit should he come available.
Jed Fish got a job. Arizona, by the way, how does he go from many different stops to the QB coach here for a struggling team and then get a high-profile job like Arizona? How does that happen?
The fish that saved Arizona.
Literally.
I haven't gotten the whole Jed Fish thing. I mean, I like him personally. He's a guy who has – I don't even think – I'm not even sure whether he played football in high school. To tell you the truth, he has a very strange road. He hasn't been any place for longer than 2 years. Keeps jumping from the college game to the pro game to when I really spent some time with him. He was offensive coordinator of the Jaguars way back when. So I don't get it. He is a very personable guy and can talk a lot. I know he has a personal relationship with the AD or the president at the University of Arizona. So that probably had a lot to do with it.
All right. Max is in Boston. He's been on hold. What's up, Max? Hey, Max. All right, he wasn't there. I want to throw a couple of names at you guys real
quick.
Sure, yeah. The future of Julian Edelman. Chris, your thoughts. Greg, your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just say, you know, I don't think we're going to see him the rest of this year. Source told me he's not really close to coming back. It'll be interesting to see what it is next year. I mean, the cap hit's over $6 million. You know, the money itself is relatively low. The base is $2.8 million. But does he want to be here if it's a little bit of a retool? You know, does he want to do that, or does he want to be in Tampa with his friends? I wouldn't be surprised if he's not here next year.
Yeah, I'm with Chris. I think it's very possible that we might have seen Julian's last games in a Patriots uniform, but you know, I do think it's possible that they see how he is in the offseason. They bring him along, and then maybe they make a decision around training camp or in training camp. I mean, look, he's coming off an injury, so it depends. Are they just going to cut bait? I don't have the contract in front of me. How much that would cost if they just release him, or do they want to trade him, or what? But I don't think they're going to have a whole lot of information until they get into OTAs, assuming they have that this year.
Greg, what's the future of James White?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's up in the air. I think James is a guy that they would love to probably have here. Does James still, you know, want to be here, or with what happened with his father, with his mother in the offseason, does he want to get closer to them, to his mom and what she's going through? Those type of things can really change a person in terms of, you know, what's important to them. And, you know, is football still really important to James? Is it, but maybe he would rather be more local, like with the Dolphins or Tampa Bay? Because I could tell you, Tom could really use him in, yes, Tampa Bay with those backs couldn't catch a cold down
terrible
there in Tampa. And so that would be a natural fit to me. And that was actually something I brought up as a possible trade at the trade deadline. But, you know, we'll have to see. I mean, they love him here, and I'm sure they'd love him to finish his career here. But is that realistic? I don't know.
I just want to throw one out there because we haven't addressed this. Any feel, Greg, one way or the other, Stephon Gilmore? I mean, is that definitely it, you know, for him? He's under contract for another year. I know he wants another contract, but we were sort of talking J.C. Jackson's the new number one corner. So will the Patriots trade him, or just, you know, give him the Ty Law and say thanks for your service? Good luck on the free agent market. We're cutting you.
You know, it remains to be seen. I mean, look, Stephon, you know, he's been a great competitor here and helped them win a Super Bowl. I mean, I think that money's very important to him. And I think this whole year has basically been one big protracted contract negotiation, from what went on in training camp to, you know, him wanting to be traded, because him and his agent are no idiots. They know that he's going to be 31. He wants another big contract, his last one. This offseason would have been his best chance. This injury is really going to hinder it. That's why you hear them, you know, saying all the nice things about he's going to be ready, you know, in their offseason program and stuff like that. Nobody knows. I mean, medical people I've talked to are like, this sounds like a very serious injury, and he'll be lucky to be back probably by the start of training camp. So all that's going to affect what his deal is. I mean, it might come to Gilmore has to play for what he's getting paid. And then, you know, if he shows, whether it's in preseason or early in the season, maybe then he can engineer a trade again or try to do that. But it's a convoluted situation now with him.
I mean, do you think he would be willing to, based on everything you described, would he be willing to at least start the season here for the $7 million? Or given what you said in terms of a protracted negotiation, money being important to him, is that like a non-starter for him? You know how some veterans get, yeah, I'll play somewhere else for $7 million, but I'm not playing here for it.
Yeah, it all depends on what his agent, you know, tells him. But I would say, you know, all things being equal, hell no, he would not play for $7 million here. He would rather go someplace else, get traded, get released, and be able to be a bug in their ear about a new contract. And because I think he realizes it's a no-win situation with Belichick, that, you know, especially now that he's injured, Belichick's now going to use his leverage. So I'm sure he'd rather try someplace else.
Just two more guys for you. Dante Hightower, His future, will he retire or will the money stay on the books? And I don't know. To me, I felt like he might be a huge addition if they could get him back next year.
I'll defer that one to Greg first.
Well, I think he'll want to come back. You know, I don't have any firsthand knowledge of that, but just, you know, the general consensus from people I've talked to seems that they think that Dante might come back. You know, they might have to take a look at his contract. How willing is he able to do that? I mean, Chung is a guy I definitely expect to come back, because that guy doesn't really turn down paychecks, and he's the type of guy who, you know, you're going to have to drag him off, basically. And so, but is he worth it at this point in time? I don't know. Bill loves him. Bill keeps giving him Rex Burkhead. He keeps giving him Rex Burkhead contracts. So I don't know.
I mean, you know, I agree with on Chung. Hightower, I think that they need him, and I think they'll be able to coax him back. But when you spend a year away from the game and you've had the injuries that Hightower has had over the course of his career, and you've had such a great career, and maybe, again, the organization's at a point where they're, I can almost say rebuilding, but retooling. Do you want to be a part of that? I don't know. I think that one could go either way, and I think sort of Hightower will call his own shot there one way or the other.
I just want to throw one more name out there. Would the Patriots ever be interested in a J.J. Watt?
How would they get him?
No.
Okay. Greg says no.
No. Okay. No.
Well, no. I mean, how is that even going to happen?
I mean, I know the money is that, but I'm just thinking about a impact defensive end that can get out to the quarterback. That I don't know. I mean, you know, I know he's in Houston. He's been saying all the right things.
I would say that contract would be a non-starter for Bill.
Yeah.
I think somebody's been playing DraftKings.
That's right.
Daily Fantasy.
Great sponsor of the DraftKings.
But in fairness, I mean, you know, that's the thing. I mean, to your point, Greg, about the pass rush, you know, there's really two ways to get those guys. Either you draft them, and they were able to do that with Chandler Jones, or you have to pay them. And even if you draft them, if you want to keep them, at some point you have to pay them. Those guys get paid.
TJ,
no, I agree.
Sorry, JJ Watt, $17.5 million, 1 year left. I can see a restructure.
I mean, he'd have to play for like $10 million.
Yeah, and he doesn't really fit their scheme all that much. Like, you know, one of the guys I'm hoping they add, and he's not a dominant guy, but he's more of the Kyle Van Noy ilk, probably a little bit better. Is like, I'm hoping Olivier Vernon comes free.
Yeah, he's had a good year.
Cleveland, because he's been a guy that I've been like, he'd be the perfect edge guy for the Patriots for a long time. He's totally their type of player, and they just need to get a bunch of different guys who can do different things and who are smart, and you know, they're just lacking those guys. And first of all they need to draft a hell of a lot better. I was just going through the Bills' last four drafts, and you want to know why the Bills are where they are and where the Patriots are where they are. Just go through the Bills' last four drafts compared to what the Patriots have done, and that'll give you your answer.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, when they get to 2017, they get Tre'Davious White, Deion Dawkins, and Matt Milano in one draft. I mean, what'd the Patriots get then? And then the next year they get Josh Allen, Tremaine Edwards, and, you know, it just goes on and on. I mean, even this past year they get Gabriel Davis in the fourth round at wide receiver, and he's better than anybody the Patriots have on their team.
Yeah, I think one thing that might go out the window, guys, this draft, it's a little different because they won't have the third round pick because of the whole situation with, you know, filming Cincinnati accidentally.
But Brady compensatory pick.
Yeah, they'll get that at the end of the third. But the idea has always been, well, you know, they're picking at the end of the first round. What do you expect? Well, they're not going to be picking at the end of the first round. They'll be in the upper half of the first round, or at least the middle of it. So they should have higher picks, and can they capitalize on that? That excuse, I think, sort of goes out the window with this draft, and they're going to need to hit on this draft big time.
That, right. And also, the Chiefs have done okay drafting late. You know,
oh yeah,
that's a good point.
For several years,
yeah, that's true. And also, by the way, Jake Bailey is the best player on this team.
That's right.
Yeah,
let's crown him.
It's true.
2020.
So
MVP.
Said it today during the broadcast. Jake Bailey is an actual professional athlete, former professional athlete, someone who played in the NFL. It's not just me saying it. It's not just Bedard saying it. Zoe said today on the broadcast that Bailey's their best player this year.
High-ranking member of the Patriots organization.
That's right.
That's right. Hey, Greg, appreciate your time today. Boston Sports Journal. Go check it out. Are you on with the guys this week? Big Boy Tuesday?
Yep. Wednesday. Don't know who's going to be there, but I will be there Wednesday 2 to 4.
Great. All right,
good
Greg.
Good stuff, Greg.
Happy New Year, and I'll talk to you on Sunday. Thank you, sir.
You too, guys. Thanks.
All right, it's Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal. We'll wrap things up here with Chris Gasper. We're going to go over the draft.
Let's do it.
The QB draft recap, we'll go over all that. And, of course, we have the game recap coming up after this. I want to give you my – I have a top 10, but we'll shrink it a little bit for the quarterback here. But
we've got
the game recap coming up next. And, of course, your headlines here